Welcome, everybody, to MTG PodQuest Roundtable number 2. Paladin Robin, the Planeswalker coach, was unable to join us tonight, but we have the other three content creators and a special guest with us. I asked them to rank the top three Planeswalkers in Standard. Now, you're going to notice a running theme throughout this episode where we are experiencing technical difficulties with one of our guests' audio feeds. We worked to get this solved before we started recording the episode, but we really couldn't do it. You're going to notice this throughout, but I think it flowed nicely and actually kind of added to how we enjoyed making this episode. So I hope you enjoy it too. Enjoy. All right, welcome to MTG PodQuest. This is our second roundtable. We have with us this week, he has a YouTube channel where he posts reviews and content relating to the Magic the Gathering puzzle quest. Please welcome back to the show, Gaz.
What's up, nerds? Good to be here, man. Thanks for having me.
Nerds! And he has a YouTube channel where he posts reviews and content relating to Magic the Gathering puzzle quest. Please welcome back to the show, Main Loop.
That's me.
And he has a YouTube channel where he posts reviews and content relating to Magic the Gathering puzzle quest. Please welcome to the show for the first time, Nalthazar. Really?
Chef's kiss. Okay, he's out next. <We'll> Move on.
Can't hear you, brother. And he is the world record holder for consecutive perfect games, at least for the next 10 weeks. And he has been called the expert's expert on Magic the Gathering Puzzle Quest. Please welcome back to the show, Zibvert.
Hey, everybody.
So tonight we're going to be discussing what we feel are the top Planeswalkers for Standard play. But first, I'd like to take a moment to get a quick impression of the newest Planeswalker, Commodore Guff. And I'm going to go, because you just posted a video on this, I'm going to go to Gaz. What do you think?
I love him. I think he's a S-tier walker easily, just from the color matches and his mana bonuses. Those two things alone just make him S-tier. I made a comment in my video about all the different colors are covered now in three-color walkers with those color mana bonuses. So God Pharaoh, Dakon, the main Mon. You've got Lord Skibbidi-Pap. In green, and then you've got this one now for Narset, in red, white, blue. So yeah, I think he's S tier. He's a lot of fun. His secondary is just stupid. Anyways, I'll leave some meat on the bones for others to comment. I think he's fantastic. Highly recommend. And I worked really hard on this video. Please go watch it and just go comment on it, because it took a lot of editing for that. Come on.
It was fun to watch.
Sure looked like it. Yeah.
Maynard, what do you think?
Yeah, I haven't had the time to actually sit down and do my video review yet, but I guess the preview is, yeah, he's way up there. I think he's definitely in the running for probably like top three tricolor walker right now, maybe, for me at least, because his abilities, you get a lot more out of them than I even thought. And I thought they were pretty good on just reading them. But then in practice, there's so much you could do with them. I mean, they are geared toward Vanguards, of course, right? But just the fact of how much he can shine with those, putting Vanguards, Gauntlet in your deck and all that, I find that he can really dominate.
Zivert, have you had a chance to play around with this yet?
No, haven't played it, played against it a little. I mean, I've looked up the stats, I'm familiar with it, so, yeah. No, yeah, it looks good.
Are you with us?
Probably.
Yep.
I think so.
His kid is.
Yeah, they're back home now.
He has a YouTube channel where he posts reviews and content relating to Magic the Gathering Puzzle Quest. Please welcome to the show for the first time, Nalthazar.
Hi, guys, gals, and non-binary pals. Thanks for having me, nerd.
Nice. Our pleasure. Okay, so, Nalthazar, what's your impression of Commodore Guff?
I think Guff's a really cool planeswalker. I think that Guff looks like a planeswalker at first glance. That is pretty straightforward, but I feel like there's a lot more depth in the kit, in that the third ability allows you to use your Vanguard abilities a second time in a turn, which is really cool, but it also is providing shields to all your non-simple supports. So I feel like that opens up a lot of cards that you wouldn't necessarily look at sometimes to play with. And so I feel like there's a lot of value in Guff right now. And there's a lot of value that Guff is going to have in the future as new sets come out. So you've got things like Food Fight or All Will Be One, or, you know, just there's all these like really cool supports that have stronger effects the more shields they have. And they are balanced in a way that wasn't expecting them to necessarily have a way to get a lot of extra shields. And Guff enables that to happen. And so having white in the color identity enables you to use things like Golden Wish and whatnot. And so you're able to generate loyalty with Guff at a really staggering rate, where you can reliably use that third turn, that third ability every single turn. And then the red gem conversion from those wizards that you get on the second enables just so much mana gain. And there's just so many different synergies with different cards between the different abilities that I think that Guff has a lot of play. And it's a very cool walker. I think it's a great addition to the game.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to turn right away to the top three planeswalkers in standard, in your opinion. And who I'm going to ask first is Maynard on this one. Give me number three on your list.
Number three? Oh, man, that's the hardest one for me to choose, actually. Right now, Brokan is crazy good with all the things, I think. Like, I feel like people aren't using him probably enough right now, because you got, of course, GTA, and then all the blue shenanigans you can get out there too. But then also you got red, so you got connecting the dots, hit the mother load, anything like that out there. He's super good right now.
I'm going to go right to you, Zibbert. What do you think?
Maybe like Rawl, is it Viceroy? I mean, it's a good solid planeswalker, but like green's a little more popular now and he doesn't have it. But it's still, you know, you can fetch cards, get mana. I mean, not planeswalker I play a ton, but I do like it for like creatureless builds and stuff. So,
guys, number three.
Mine's Kasmina for number three. And I don't play her at all. I think you could replace this with any green planeswalker. They're all playable right now. GTA is the meta, and you know, anybody that can functionally get it out. The big thing she always has though over everybody else is no matter what the meta is, she's still strongest, right? Like you'll find everybody on my list is great no matter what the card pool looks like. And she's by far just absolute with that whole extra set of cards. That extra deck she just has sitting behind her deck that can do everything she needs it to. She's just a beast of a walker. And anyone who says that she's not absolutely, you know, top walkers just needs to play with her more, because she's the best, one of them.
Nalthazar.
I deliberated over this one. I'm going to go with Dacon. And I have a very similar reason to Zibvert, which is just that Dacon doesn't have green. Dacon is good in pretty much any situation in every single event. And regardless of the collection that you have, Dacon can put in work. And so there's a lot to be said for that. You're going to pick up wins. You're going to be able to get objectives. I think that Dacon is just a great all-around walker.
Yeah, and you know, my pick was same as Main Loops. Brokan, I feel, was number three on my list, simply for A3. Just you get to that, and you put three, you know, bruisers in there, and you're pretty much good. You just got to get to it.
Goldar.
Yeah. So let's go to number two then, and I'm going to go to you, Gaz.
For two for me, I got to look at my cheat sheet. Rawl. Rawl's my second favorite. He's my most played walker, too. And I hear you guys saying green, but there's still, I don't see anybody playing the focus that I do. I haven't run into anybody playing builds that I build at all, like from anywhere. Vance is stupid strong and nobody uses her. And I maybe understand why, maybe because it's just people don't have the right cards yet. But now that the set's been out, I figured I'd see more of her. And Rawl is just fantastically good at getting the card you need when you need it, putting mana into it. And you got maybe three more, the mana gains he's got, and then you can overcome just about anything else. And he loops. I can loop the tar out of him and beat. Green's fantastic. It's super powerful. Galta doesn't have haste. Neither does Atraxa. And if they don't get that turn, if they don't build that in, note to everyone building green, you better put green haste in there. Tyvar should be in your build. Because if you don't, my loop deck will beat it. Yeah, I know. I've got a bunch of spotlight builds that are going to show you guys how to, or it's going to kind of spotlight how to win in less than 3 turns or 4 turns. So sorry, guys. But that's that's coming. So anyways, moving on. Rawl.
Am I muted again?
How about Maynard? What's your number 2?
I hate to say it because I don't even really like playing him that much, but Dakon, pretty much for the reasons that were stated before. He can do everything. He's really got no weakness other than, you know, the lack of green that was mentioned before. But yeah, I just don't find him that interesting to play anymore. I have to like work to find fun builds for him, but he's still really good. And my own feelings aside, you can't deny that.
How about you, Zippert?
For number 2, probably go Kasmina. I mean, it's for me, it's very similar to like Rawl, but you know, you have green in there too, which is popular now. And like every one of her abilities is like giving you mana and like giving you like cards, because the first one's like fetch, get some mana based off the support. The second one gives you huge amounts of mana because like, you know, you throw in like a Tempt Discovery, just copy one of those every turn. You know, and then the third ability, not as much mana, but still good cards. I mean, like, you know, like every single ability is what I want. More mana, more cards.
Nalthazar, are you back with us?
More mana, more problems.
I was going to say the same thing. That's a t-shirt, you know, merchandise, merchandising.
And the merch part. What's your number 2 there, Nalthazar?
My number 2 is actually not like my personal number 2, right? It's just what I think for everyone. Like, by that, I mean that it's my number 1 personally. I use this walker more than any other planeswalker. And I find that for the way that I play the game and the way that I build, it is the most powerful walker in the game. But I recognize that the way that I play is not the way that everyone else plays. And that's going to be Ren and Realmbreaker. So Ren and Realmbreaker's ability to generate mana is, I think, unlike any planeswalker in the game. The passive converting to the most common color on the board just makes it so likely that you're going to get extra hits, and you're able to play those really large spells, things like Tempt with Discovery or Galta or Atraxa. You're able to get those down really, really quickly. And then just with Puzzle Master's green and really just all of what we have in green and the removal that green has at its disposal as well, I feel like we aren't in a meta where you have to be running a multicolored planeswalker. And there's definitely times where I feel like you do have to be running multicolored walkers. I feel like this really isn't that meta. And Gauz, you were mentioning Galta not having haste, but just with that third ability on Ren, you just end a game, right? You make sure that you got a creature in your graveyard. You make a match of that color typing and you end the game, right? Like if you have Atraxa as your only white, black, or blue card in your deck, as an example, you drop that third ability, and then you make sure that your swap is the one of those colors, and then you're guaranteed to get an Atraxa back from the graveyard with reinforcements, with haste, and you end the game. So you hit your objectives, and then you win. So for me, it's Ren.
It is for me as well. Really, you just kind of said it much more eloquently than I would have. Seriously. So let's go to number 1, and let's go to Zivert.
I mean, for me personally, like Tamiyo Field Researcher, I play a ton. Like, I mean, that's like half my standard play. I mean, it's, you know, the good abilities. That third is just great because, like, even if you get wiped out, if you have the loyalty on hand, like drawing 6 cards and getting those like huge mana bonuses, like you can just come back from like nothing in one turn if you throw that off. I mean, that is a little more card dependent. If you don't have cards, if you're newer, then yeah, maybe something like Dakon still, but I mean, if you've got the cards for it, I really like Tamiyo.
Main loop.
Kasmina. That +5 on blue and green lets me do things that other green blue walkers can't. She pretty much makes even average decks work for me. Decks that wouldn't work in other planeswalkers. She's great at that. Her versatility when it comes to her abilities as well. The fact that she can fetch cards, give them potentially as much mana as you want with their first. Her second ability not only copying spells, giving them full mana, re-enabling vanguards, and then you get a whole extra kit of cards. You get some support removal and creature removal just from using your second ability. And then her third is a nice way to get more cards into your hand if you don't have a lot of draw already built into your deck. So she just does everything and does it so well. She's my favorite planeswalker in the game.
How about Gozmaster?
What is that guy? I have to stand up and put, I do not understand the hate, the vitriol, the disagreements, the shade that's being thrown at my man Dacon. Please, ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize that the one and only, the greatest, the most powerful, the originator, the criminator, Dacon Shadow Slayer. Come on, man. This guy is phenomenal. He's great in all metas. We're bored with playing with him. I get that, and I understand that, and I'm not going to disregard that because I am too. However, in small metas, bigger metas, I actually might have a parting of thought processes on strongest colors in meta right now. I know Galta is the easiest one to go to, and green is super strong right now. I actually think white or blue might still be the strongest colors in the game. And if you have those two combined, I mean, Wish is such a stupid powerful card. That with Portal to Phyrexia is one of my favorite removals. And I get to pull stuff back from the yard. So, oh, you're killing my stuff. Cool. I'll just go pull it right back from the yard. I love that. And then blue with Cut Your Losses as kind of the foundation for that. You can pretty much do whatever you like with it. So with that said, are there funner cards in others to play with? I actually have to go back and rebuild some DAC and stuff. I was doing that tonight. But Assemble the Players is a new card that's really awesome in the newest set in white. There's just a ton of what I talked about her last week. Aurelia's Vindicator is so fun, man. It just changes the way you play with them. Throw things into your exile and just pull stuff back into your hand and go with it. And then, of course, come on, Shat Bros. What are we talking about? Can't run Shat Bros in some of these other ones the way that we want to. So, yeah, he's a lot of fun. I think he's absolutely powerful, especially for – and I always advocate for the newer player. A lot of the people that do watch our stuff or they're in my Discord server are newer players just kind of starting again. And I still recommend Dakin as your first go-to tricolor walker. I argue it should be your first walker, period, for all the advantages it gives you. And he's just stupid strong. I don't play him as much now. Ral is still my go-to walker, but he absolutely is the most powerful in the game, in my opinion.
Nalthazar.
Mine's going to sound very similar to main loops. I think the number one planeswalker in Standard right now is Kasmina. Green, I think, is the strongest color in Standard, followed by blue. And so you've got the two strongest colors in Standard. I think that for events, Sleep with the Fishes is a card that I really haven't seen as much of lately. But it just completely shuts decks down. And so it makes it very easy, I find. If I'm playing seriously, I'm going to be running some version of Kasmina that has that card in it. And you can't run that in Ren. And so I feel like Ren is a little bit less safety proof. It's got like kind of like the kid gloves on, just because you can't run stuff like that. The first ability allowing you to fetch, like Sergio said. The second ability, I think, is just so sneaky good. Because a lot of our removal
is coming from
the spell side. And so if you're playing from behind, I feel like just a singular activation of Kasmina's second, giving full mana to something, like it doesn't matter what the board state looks like. It doesn't matter what your opponent has out. It doesn't matter what the gem layout is. It doesn't matter how much mana you have. You're going to get a full mana spell out of that. And you get to control what that is. In a way, with your first fishing through your deck and then just sort of holding on to something, and then you can rearrange your hand, make it sort of immune to discard. And so I feel like it just gives you so much. So I think that Kasmina is the best walker in Standard right now.
Is there a better uncommon card in Standard right now than Sleep with the Fishes, or a more powerful, I should say?
More powerful? I wouldn't say so. I don't think so. We've never really had something that just permanently shuts things down, right? We've had things like Hyksos or Suppression Bonds, but those can be destroyed. And then once they're gone, you know, you get the creature back. But in Standard, no, I would say that Sleep with the Fishes is, like, to me personally, I think it's masterpiece level power. Like, it's just phenomenal.
Yeah. And don't sleep on one of the other things it does, which is the fish it actually produces. The little token can produce that. See what I did
there? Oh, shoot. Did I say Kasmina? Oh, I got that totally wrong. You see, so here's the thing, right? Like, we're all going into this as if this is a subjective debate.
Here we go.
Objectively, here the best planeswalker in the game is Koth. Like, there's
insert part noise here.
There's no planeswalker in the game. There's no planeswalker in the game that has a mana bonus that high. It's almost as if they have
make
to balance
Sorin
the whole game around just that one planeswalker and its ability to generate mana, and then just with the gem destruction and the red happening and the power that red has at its disposal. You know,
ladies and gentlemen, like, I apologize for the behavior of Nalthazar. Clearly, he didn't take his bipolar medication tonight, and he is on a rant. Unfortunately, we cannot edit him out. It is illegal to actually silence those mental disabilities.
Koth is just so
like
good
this.
That they had to make a second one, and then they just had to like tweak it a little bit. And
yeah, Koth sucks. Woo, like, Koth sucks.
Koth is objectively
are we done? Did we meet our obligations?
Objectively. And Greg agrees.
Yeah, we can't hear. Nobody tell Nalthazar that we could hear him this whole time. I just wanted to be a dick and cut him off every time.
Oh, yeah. No. Well, you are what you eat, nerd.
If that gets edited out of this, I will be very
sorry.
Oh, shoot.
By the way, Nalthazar, you're silent right now, so I'm sure you'll come back.
Even your microphone just had to shut you up. Your turn, Nerd Degree. What's your number one, man?
My number one I have down is Dakin, and it's almost like it's, I got to tell you, the more I'm thinking about it, the more I'm thinking that this was my answer 3 months ago and not so much now. So things are in flux with me right now with Planeswalkers, and I guess Dakin is still there just because maybe he hasn't been knocked off the top for me yet, but I kind of feel like he's losing his shine. Like I think a couple of you guys mentioned. We've all played him out. I mean, there was for a few months there, it's all you saw in like 50% of your opponents on the other side of the board in the coalition events were, okay, now we can hear you because I can hear you typing.
all I heard was
No, it's just because he lost his glitter. We need to give him back his credit card so he can buy it from Amazon. That's all that's happened to him.
No, I think it's an interesting question, and that really is one that looks deeper at, like, and I keep bringing this up because I think it's important, but the state of the meta, the card pool that's available to us, and the power that's available, like the new shiny stuff. But when was the last time we actually looked back at Dakin and rebuilt something for him with cards from the last three sets, even like 3 months ago?
Right.
I mean, we still had cards that we were running in Dakin that were from the previous sets that were pretty much set for his kind of best meta decks, if you will. And now we have so many new cards and new toys. I think we got burnt out. I did. I know I did. I adore Dakin, but when you look at it objectively, especially for that new player, like this Walker can do all the things you need it to. Does that mean Kasmina's not? No. Kasmina, Rahl, and Dakin, for me, are pretty interchangeable at the top. You know, whoever's got the most OP cards. And Galta is absolutely one of those enablers right now that it just makes it so easy to win with. I couldn't fault anybody for picking any one of those as their number one picks. They're all great.
Dakin's really good. Like I said, I think it just more depends where your cards are at. Because yeah. If you're low on cards, yeah, he's like way better than so much other stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, as you get more cards, he's still good, but you get a lot more viable options.
Yeah, all three of his abilities are world class, really.
Am I muted again?
No.
So you guys can hear my kids.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Who's their favorite walker?
I'm so sorry.
No, no worries. I can take care of that. Okay, so let's go to
the was that a threat?
Yeah. Just email me, man. Y'all don't know what I do for a living. Anyway, so let's go to the sleepers. All right, and let's go. Let's go to Nalthazar first. Seems to be active over there. So,
yeah.
Oh no, I just muted myself so that you know. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah,
again?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Hit my mute button.
Can hear
you. Oh, okay.
So what's your sleeper? Walker, what's the Walker that you like, you think is perhaps underutilized, but you think deserves more attention?
All right. So that if we're going to say underutilized, right, then I guess that takes away things like Liliana of the Veil.
I'll pull back from that. I really kind of want it to be whatever
feel
is
I think that's
the right answer here.
In terms of like things that I don't see people using very much that I think are really strong, mm-hmm. I think that Puzzle Masters Teferi is just absurd. And there's a very short list of planeswalkers that I go up against. I see it in the matchmaking screen, mm-hmm. and I just go, ah, crap, this match is going to suck. Teferi, Puzzle Masters Teferi is on the top of that list. Because typically, if someone's running that, they're probably going to have ambiguity. And just they're going to have ways of fetching it and getting that thing out. And there just really isn't a great way of dealing with the time bubbles in Standard right now or anything right now. So once those things get down, they're infuriating. I'd say that like if I get to cheat and throw in two others real quick, just like low key, it would be Daxos and Kalemni. I think that those two are still incredibly powerful planeswalkers that get slept on a little bit, especially Daxos. Daxos has really easy win cons built in, and then the first ability only costing 4 loyalty, serving as both removal and a win condition, I think is just such an incredible value proposition for a planeswalker. We've got things like Sigarda's Imprisonment that you can just lock the field down with in events where you need to cast supports or destroy things. We've got that case of the Gorgon's Kiss, which is going to be able to kill things as well. We've even got the saga, the Spirit Dragon Saga. Why am I forgetting the name of it? Kami War?
Kami War?
What's it called? Kami War? Yeah, the Kami War, right? Where,
God, you're just pushing all of Gauze's buttons tonight, aren't you?
He knows. He's got a list.
I never push Gauze's buttons. He just pretends for me, okay? It's just for entertainment.
It's called role-playing, gentlemen. Figure it out.
Uh-oh. And he's gone.
Apparently he went to go fight some crime later.
There, my man. Maynard, what's your sleeper?
I was just looking through all of my planeswalkers that I've been using lately, and I find myself actually going to Nicole Bolas God Pharaoh a lot in training grounds and all that. I just find him really fun right now for doing pretty much. He's become kind of my stand in Rawl right now. I don't use Rawl a lot in training grounds. I actually go to God Pharaoh first, actually, because, well, for one, I don't like to rebuild decks all the time. So my Rawl decks are just saved and I just never touch them really. But I have a slot with Nicole Bolas that I just never, it's kind of just flexible. And I just use it to experiment with. So I find myself being able to do all the fun loopy stuff with him and all the fun things that I get to do with other tricolor planeswalkers. He's tends to be my go-to. I don't use him that often in actual ranked events, but I use them a lot for just testing stuff out and all that. And I don't think enough people are doing that right now.
Absolutely. Okay, Zivert, what's your sleeper?
I'll maybe go with the Karn Sion of Urza. I mean, he's still really good, especially while we've got a lot of the multicolor stuff. Like when Streets of New Capenna rotates out, he might take a little drop off, but... like there's so much good like three color or up cards right now still that with that, I mean, some of it, like, I don't know, I never got into his A2 as much, but that first ability, that fetch is just great when you're grabbing stuff like the Kami War or, you know, like Meeting of the Five, and you're just getting like +2 to everything. Like there's enough good cards that bump his mana up fast. And I mean, making those like giant like 12-12s with the A3 never hurts if you need something.
Gauzemaster.
I think I'm going to go the route of Nalthazar and give a couple. For me, I think the biggest sleepers, and all praise Maynard T. Loop here for kind of turning me around for this guy, Teferi L. Jackson or Teferi Akasa of Zal. I don't even know its real name anymore. I just call him Teferi L. Jackson because he looks like Samuel L. Jackson from Pulp Fiction. His first is so stinking good. He's got great mana gains, blue and white. He's got +5 to his main colors, and that first ability, just for 3 or 4, whatever it is, I can't remember what it is off the top of my head. And you go fetch 2 creatures and they gain mana. He's just bad. Well, actually, I'm sorry, not him. Excuse me. I'm thinking of Johnny strike that, erase it. Editor, cut that part out. This is, everybody always says, oh, you're always so flawless in your videos. Like, it's because I edit all the garbage out. I can hear now those are typing. Good Lord, what are we getting now? No, Teferi L. Jackson's first ability is you discard a card, you draw two cards, they gain mana, and it puts stuff into your yard. So his first ability is so stinking good with Faithbound Judge. You know, just auto feeds the yard that way. And then you're gaining two creatures, and I run Healer of the Pride in that one. So that hits the board, and then I get the, because I'm dropping a creature into the yard, I get the soldier tokens. And so I'm getting white mana conversion, life gain, filling my hand up with mana. It's just so friggin' good, and I don't see hardly anybody playing it. It's such a boss little planeswalker that people should pick up and start playing. His other two abilities are good.
He's got some nice mana gains, too.
He does. His mana gains are solid, especially if you're running Sunken Citadel and everything, right? Except for Ren and Realmbreaker. Don't run Ren and Realmbreaker. I think that's still messed up. But the other side of that, too, is that third ability. If you empty your hand and use the third, then your creatures don't get disabled. So you get all the tokens that hit the board, and they can still attack or do whatever you need them to without disabling your creatures that turn. So nice little side there. And then this one is I shout out to Zivert. Good call with Karn. He was going to be one of my other picks. I think he's a fantastic walker. I don't know why people would ever sleep on him. He's utility for, I always build my cards around him or decks. Like if I'm trying to break something, he's the one I build them with to figure out what color sequences they work with. And then I port them over to a colored walker. But the real one is Quintorius Khand. Quintorius Khand. Khand is dope. And he offers so many unique different play styles. I've got a bridge of whatever it is, entanglement. What is the bridge card? I don't remember.
Ensnaring.
Ensnaring Bridge. Thank you, man. Ensnaring Bridge build that just kind of locks the board down. It pumps creatures out, but you're just dealing damage to them as a result of it. It would win still if you just hit them in the face with the creatures, but it's more fun to lock everything down and just and just let them ping themselves to death. It's hilarious. But his first ability, coupled with his third, he, in my opinion, is the best Koth Vanguard, the Vanguard Koth.
Just
Koth. Tool.
You don't have to. You don't have to.
No, V-Koth.
You can just V-Koth. Say
V-Koth, yes, V-Koth. His abilities are best for exposing and kind of brutalizing that. I do like Commodore 64 for that, or Commodore Derp, or Dr. Derp, or what else do we call him? Dr. McDerpy, all the different things.
Gimli McGufferson.
Yes, sweet Lord, yes. His secondary ability is really good. I just find that the activate gems, you only got the two red ones that are activated, and it's kind of hit or miss sometimes when you're in a pinch. Whereas Quintorius, you're pushing three and good night. That's it. And you've gained life the entire time. I've had games where I've gone down to like less than 10 health and I push A1 and I'm full health again. It's insane. It's so powerful. If you just need to run those, especially those objectives where it's like 12 or more turns before you can complete the objective, he's my go-to for that. And so there you go.
I like Guff's A2 with Healer of the Pride though, because then you don't have to worry about, you get a nice boost right off.
First of all, I want to say how happy I am that nobody has said that white cat.
Oh,
that pleases me.
Speaking of walkers, I'm tired of playing.
Yeah,
with yes. Or against.
Yeah. Tell me about it. As soon as Zivert said Karn, I was like, oh yes, of course, Karn, and he wasn't on my list. And he's, when I can't figure out what walker to play in an event, he's the go-to, right?
Yeah.
He's like, okay, because he can pretty much do everything. But yeah, Dad Fairy is definitely my sleeper. Dad Fairy carried me for the first year and a half of me playing this game. And I was that guy, you know, with the PMA blue that everybody was cussing at because it's such a good walker with those cards and with PMA blue and Dad Fairy playing against Greg, you're nearly unbeatable. So that's definitely my sleeper.
Hey, man, it's pronounced Ho Daddy.
Ho Daddy, indeed. Oh, is it Ho Daddy Dad Fairy? No, is it Ho Daddy the
Hero of Dominaria and Daddy? It's Hero of Dominaria. Is that what you're talking about?
I was talking about Teferi Chronoclast.
Chronoclast. Oof.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Ooh, I thought you were talking about Hero of Dominaria.
No, I'm talking. I'm Captain Time Bubble over here, man.
You know what?
It's you. Get him, everyone. It's been Nerd Thuggery the whole time.
I think the number one sleeper that we all forgot is the newest quite green Ajani. What was it called again? Ajani?
Sleeper
agent. Yeah, there we are. Yeah, that's a sleeper.
I agree. I actually agree with you on him.
Yeah, he was up there, one of my sleepers too. I just didn't.
Because it's also a sleeper.
Name him agent, but yeah.
I bagged on him and then, no, I see what you did there, but it's actually true. He was trying to make a joke, guys.
What? No, come on.
I actually think he is actually good. A sleeper planeswalker.
I don't really play him in standard. I like him, you know, if I need a white Harald deck for Legacy, he's good.
I use him a lot in like Lost Caverns of Ixalan or the other one, the Wilds of Eldraine, just because he's a good enough walker that I can save some decks for him and he'll blast through those and not have to worry about using a more popular walker for taking up the deck slot.
I actually like him a lot more now. I play with Sleep Johnny with Healer of the Pride. Anything running white is that, and it fetches Healer and it gives her enough stuff that she needs to just put it to the hand, doesn't give her mana, but puts the Phyrexian tokens on the board or the gems so that you can wind up getting the extra stuff out of it. And then if you are running a Troxa with her, he's a really good walker. And I crapped on that walker when I first did my review for him. And then of course All Hail Main Loop. He was like, he's better. Go build for him again. And I wound up building for him again. I'm like, oh yeah, he's actually pretty damn good. So thanks, Maynard.
I type in that voice.
Did you ever use the A3 though? That's the only thing I don't like about Sleeper Agent. I feel like
it's
not useful. It's too much overkill, but then you're already winning.
Yeah, it's win more for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I've gotten to the point now with where cards are in the meta with the cards we have available to us right now in the pool. It's all A1s. What do you guys think about that? Like, if your A1 isn't the thing, I don't really normally, like Dakin, I don't ever get to his A3 because I don't need it. The cards are so strong. I just need to go pull what I need from his A1 and then load the hand or put whatever I need in the yard and then go win. What are your guys' thoughts?
I don't think that needs to be the case, right? Ren's first ability is dog crap, right? It's bad. Like,
yeah,
you're running Ren for the passive in the third for sure. Liliana of the Veil, her first is okay. But really, you're playing her to get the Veil tokens down from the second or the third. Puzzle Master is a Johnny, right? Like, you've got the first, you've got the second. For selective decks, you've got the third. It's not really so much about the first. So I feel like some of that really just depends on what the deck is that you're building and your playstyle. We've just got so many big mana and loyalty booms. Like, even Brokkon, right? Like, Brokkon's first, I think, is underwhelming. But that third ability is game-ending. So,
yeah.
I just think it depends.
Yeah, and with all the conversion we have back in green now, you actually have a chance of hitting. I think that's part of why I fell off for Brokkon for a while is because I couldn't get to his third fast enough. Not in tournament play, at least. Sorry, I derailed the conversation.
No, it was a good point.
No, I'm not sure if I have a S-tier walker that doesn't have a good A1. I have to look at my list and see, but I think that's part of the requirement for me to be an S tier walker is having a good A1.
Is Ren and Realm not an S tier for you right now, Sergio?
No. Well, the way I've been ranking planeswalkers lately, it's actually very hard to get an S tier from me. I think she's A tier, I want to say. I have a lot of probably A tier walkers that people rank as S tier, actually.
Veil,
I don't even know what I have her ranked.
You have her ranked in an abusive relationship with Malcazar, tied up and put in a basement somewhere so we never have to see her again. It's brutal. It's awful.
Tamiyo.
That's not a shot. She's great.
Her first ability.
Yeah. I think I have her in A tier.
Okay.
Her A2 is not great, and the A1 is sort of so-so. I mean,
they have to have a creature down to be able to draw, don't you?
Yeah,
which I'm not even sure. Is that right? Like, is that functionally how it's supposed to work?
Thank you, Zivert. I actually brought that up to support to one of the contacts at Webcore, and I'm like, hey, look at the way this is worded. Now look at what it does. Now look back at me. Now look at your man. This is not right. This is sadly not what it says. You guys got to fix this, because if they did, I have Tamiyo. I'm with you, Zivert. Fist bump, bro. I have her as an S tier walker. She absolutely is, in my opinion. But if you fix that first, and we don't have to have a creature on the board, that just makes her absolutely a solid. She'd be an objectively S-tier walker now, but if they fix that, I don't think you'd argue it. I think it would just be solid.
Yeah, that's her biggest issue, is the A3 is great. the A1 you can get by with, because a lot of times someone does drop a creature right. and you can get your two cards off it. And, you know, the minus it gives it, a lot of times they'll just keep it from attacking you. So it's kind of a nice bonus there.
Yeah. Plus the draw and everything else that impacted by that. Kip, Knowledge is Power, just to go get a nice little buff just from your A1 right away. Solid. I love her. I think she's great.
I mean, I like her A2 in a pinch. It keeps your opponent's two creatures from attacking, and it disables hopefully an Omni or something.
Yeah.
I'm honestly not even sure if I've ever used the A2. Like, I play her a ton, and it's all A1, A3 pretty much.
Yeah. I've used it a time or two just to, if I was behind. Did I win those matches if you're that far behind to have to use the A2? I think that's more a kind of a sign of, yeah, you might as well just go ahead and hit the quit button.
I think I've won one match once because of her A2.
Well, because usually, like, if I'm desperate, like, I'll have a lot of loyalty, and it's like, if I don't have anything to deal with what they've got, just throw away your whole hand and throw off the A3 and draw six cards and hope. Like, I'd rather do that than just disable them and, like, because, you know, that stalls you for a turn. And you're going to hope what in the one card you draw next, it solves your problem.
Well, actually, counterpoint. And don't listen to me, people that are listening to this. Exhibit is the best player in the game with the hands down. So ignore what I'm about to say. But there are some folks that have, like, hexproof, and I might have the removal I need, but I need to disable their ability to fend against that hexproofedness. Or that spell to target them. So sometimes I'll use it for that regard. Actually, truth be told, I'll actually just use Tamio the Vanguard to do that. And that winds up working too. So it is.
Yeah. That I've actually, I think I used that like once. That minus on Tamio, like on the Vanguard. I hardly ever use that, but it is handy if you need to disable something and it happens to be the highest cost thing.
If I have an absurd amount of shields on it, then I'll just use it for the hell of it.
What I heard Zivert say was, actually, be better, and you won't be in those situations. So, noted. Well, thanks,
Zivert. Usually my removal,
that's how you
like,
get that streak going. That's
you know, I'm playing, like the Kami War and, Phasing of Zelfir. Like I'm playing all this stuff that's, like, untargeted removal.
Yeah.
So.
You're not running into that situation. Where my play style, for sure, is very much more aggro, probably aggro combo. And it's not as much defense. I maybe run one removal spell in everything I do, just because, and it has to be non-targeted loopable removal that won't stop whatever I'm trying to do. And I say loops, but everything I run isn't loops, but I just don't like cards sitting dead in hand. I think that's more my thing, is I don't like have a card that I can't do something with, and like a Kami War is just sitting back sometimes that I'm not just getting on the board doing, wrecking the opponent with it if their board's clear. Anyways, Nerd Thuggery. I will stop.
I'm just letting you guys roll, man.
I have more questions. I have a lot of other stuff we could talk about.
Other subjects for other times. We're coming up on 60 minutes almost, and I think Nalthazar is cashed. So,
yeah. Hey, what's Zivert's PayPal address so we can actually send him money for consulting on how we can get our win streaks up?
I really only have like one person that actually asked me for advice. So,
really? Oh my god,
is it me or am I two?
No, well, you haven't, like once in a while we talk and I'll say something, but you don't ever really just, like, message me, like, you know, out of nowhere and ask something.
Yeah, that's true. Like, it starts with something first, and then I'll throw in a couple of questions, or you'll offer, you know, you'll ask me, and I'll give you my answer, and you'll be like, no, try this.
Yeah, like, while we're talking, sometimes you just talk about stuff, but yeah, like, I don't know. Most people don't really care what I'm doing.
I think we're all just learning that your DMs are open like that.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Yeah, go for it.
That's so going to go out on the air.
You can PayPal my man Zivert at paythatmanhismonies, paypal.com, and it'll be $25 per consultation. You need a better marketing firm. Hit me up after this. I'll look at you, bro.
All right.
All right, guys, so I'll go ahead and close it out. Okay, Gozmaster, thanks for joining us. Where can we see your YouTube?
Gozmaster. I mean, it's the easiest place to go there. I am on the Discord, so if you guys want to jump on the server there, I do have a Facebook page there as well if you guys want to find me there. And as always, man, hey, I appreciate all you do, nerd. You're absolutely a champion in the space, so thanks for having me, man.
It's always my pleasure. Main Loop, where can we find you?
I am at youtube.com/mainloopbeats.
Nalthazar, where can we find your stuff?
You can find me on YouTube. You can just look up Nalthazar. I imagine it's probably youtube.com/Nalthazar. Or just from any of my videos, you can join my Discord. I have one. There's a lot of people there. So come and join us.
Excellent. And Zivert, thank you so much for joining us on Last Minute Notice. I think I texted you 30 minutes before the show and you were all about it. So thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, no problem. I always like to talk about, you know, Puzzle Quest magic. It's fun.
All right, guys. That closes it out. And thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Woo!
We're going to go like top three, and I'm going to ask you guys right now before we start officially start, should we go 3-1 or 1-3? What do you think would be best?
3-1. I mean, I don't know. Like it's, I don't know. Like how many of you guys have yours as like, there's like a distinct one, a distinct two and a distinct three.
I don't know. I think it depends on what I'm playing, what I'm interested in playing at the moment, you know?
Yeah. Well, and like how you're rating it for, because like stuff like Dacon is real good if you don't have cards. But if you have cards, like you got more options.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. So favorite now as in playability or as in power ranking? Like, hey, that's still my, like I still rank, like personally, I rank Dacon number one no matter what. I just don't play them lately because... we can fight, bro. I got glass gloves, man.
No, you're good. Koth is the best, and we know it.
He is the best.
It begins
at sucking. So we could say, but I'm not playing him at all right now, and it's because of the meta, right? It's just because there's too many good cards, and this makes mono walkers viable, which normally, you know, they just suck.